Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. Today we'll study chapter 38 of Yirmiyahu, a direct continuation of yesterday's narrative describing events during the Babylonian siege of Jerusalem. You will recall that while Yirmiyahu was held in detention in the courtyard adjacent to the palace, he continued to prophesy and addressed fellow prisoners, the guards, and passers-by. He also sent written messages, particularly through his student Baruch ben Neriah. The gist of his messages during that time is recorded in the opening of this chapter, in verses 2 to 3. Ko amar Hashem, ha-yoshev ba'ir hazot yamut b'cherev b'ra'av u'vadever, ve'la'yotze la'kazdim yichyeh, ve'hayta lo nafsho le'shalal v'chayi. Ko amar Hashem, hinaten tinaten ha'ir hazot b'yad chel melech bavel u'lechada. This is what Hashem says. Whoever stays in this city will die by the sword, famine, or plague. But whoever goes over to the Chaldeans will live. He will save his soul and live. So said Hashem, this city will certainly be given into the hands of the army of the king of Babylonia, who will capture it. When the king's ministers heard that Yirmiyahu was preaching surrender, they demanded that he be summarily executed, as indicated in verses 4 to 5. Vayomru asarim el ha-melech, yumatna et ha-ish hazeh, ki al ken hu merape et yedei anshei ha-milchama, הנשארים בעיר הזאת, ואת ידי כל העם לדבר אליהם כדברים האלה. כי האיש הזה איננו דורש לשלום לעם הזה, כי אם לרעה. ויאמר המלך צדקיהו, הנה הוא בידכם, כי אין המלך יוכל אתכם דבר. Then the official said to the king, this man should be put to death. He is discouraging the warring soldiers who remain in this city, as well as all the people, by the things he is saying to them. This man does not seek the good of these people, but their ruin. He's in your hands, King Tzidkiyahu answered. The king can do nothing to oppose you. Once more, Tzidkiyahu demonstrated that he was just a weak-willed puppet, pulled in opposite directions. At first, he swore fealty to Nebuchadnezzar, who appointed him. Then he was swayed to join the coalition of neighboring nations led by the Egyptians in an insurrection against the colonial masters, the Babylonian Empire, and their powerful brigades of Chaldeans and mercenaries. Betwixt and between, he would remember his God. He would remember his God-fearing father, Yoshiyahu, and his reverence for Hashem and his messengers, such as Yirmiyahu Hanavi. Unable to stand up to his advisors, he throws in the towel and allows them free rein. Vayikru et Yirmiyahu, vayashlichu oto el habor, Malkiyahu ben ha-melech asher bechatzar ha-matara. Vayishlichu et Yirmiyahu b'chavalim, uvavor ein maim, ki imtit, vayitba Yirmiyahu batit. So they took Yirmiyahu and put him into the cistern of Malkiyahu, the king's son, which was in the courtyard of the guard. They lowered Yirmiyahu by ropes into the cistern. It had no water in it, only mud, and Yirmiyahu sank into the mud. Apparently, a servant overhears the screams that accompanied this cruelty and rushes to Tzidkiyahu, who was sheltering outside the palace. Vayishma eved melech hakushi ish saris, vehu bevet ha-melech ki natnu et Yirmiyahu el habor, vehamelech yoshev bishar Binyamin. Now Ebed Melech, the Ethiopian, a eunuch, who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Yirmiyahu in the dungeon. But the king was then sitting in the gate of Binyamin. The translations treat Ebed Melech as a moniker for an anonymous Ethiopian eunuch in the service of Tzidkiyahu, who informed the king that Yirmiyahu was slowly sinking into the mire at the bottom of the cistern. Yirmiyahu was clearly weak from starvation now that bread rations were cut off. Rashi cites the tradition that Eved Melech was actually Baruch ben Neriah, Yirmiyahu's protege and devoted servant, who was in disguise, watching over his mentor. Shocked by the torture and slow death to which they subjected the prophet, the servant said, Adoni ha-melech hereu anashim ha-elu et kol asher asu li-Yirmiyahu ha-navi et asher ishlichu el ha-bor v'yamat tachtav mipnei ha-rav ki en ha-lechem od ba-ir. My lord the king, these men have acted wickedly in all they have done to Yirmiyahu the prophet. They've thrown him into a cistern where he will starve to death as there is no longer any bread in the city. With his conscience aroused, Tzidkiyahu orders the servant to take 30 soldiers to draw him out of the cistern. The servant obeyed, as indicated in verses 11 through 13. Vayikach eved melech et ha'anashim biyado, vayavo bet ha'melech el tachat ha'otzar, vayikach misham bluyei schavot ubluyei melachim, vayishalchem el Yirmiyahu el habor bechavalim. ויאמר עבד מלך הכושי אל ירמיהו, שים נע בלועי הסחבות והמלכים תחת עצלות ידיך, מתחת לחבלים. ויעש ירמיהו כן, וימשכו את ירמיהו בחבלים, ויעלו אותו מן הבור, וישב ירמיהו בחצר המטרה. So the king's servant took the men with him, and went to a room under the treasury in the palace. He took some old rags and worn-out clothes from there and let them down with ropes to Yirmiyahu in the cistern. Eved Melech the Cushi said to Yirmiyahu, put these old rags and worn-out clothes under your arms to pad the ropes. Yirmiyahu did so, and they pulled him up with the ropes and lifted him out of the cistern. And Yirmiyahu remained in the courtyard of the guard. Rashi surmised that because so many in Yerushalayim were severely weakened by the shortage of food and water, it was necessary to recruit many men to lift the prophet from the dark depths and out of the quicksand-like mud. Rabbi Yeshayahu of Trani, a 13th century scholar known by the acronym RID, in contrast suggested that Tzidkiyahu tried to disguise the rescue of the prophet and make it seem like some sort of military maneuver, thereby avoiding a confrontation with any of his ministers. In any event, this episode provides a sad commentary on the king of Yehuda and his court. As it will become clear, a fierce battle was raging between the remnant of Jewish soldiers guarding the walls of Yerushalayim as they tried feebly to fight off the Chaldean soldiers that were breaching the fortifications. Arrows and rocks were raining over the parapets, wounding and killing many near the palace. The king had his loyal house servants bring Yirmiyahu to where he was sheltering, in one of the fortified entrances to the Temple Mount, out of sight and earshot of his advisors. There the prophet confronts the cowardly leader, as described in verses 14 through 16. וישלח המלך צדקיהו ויקח את ירמיהו הנביא אליו אל מבוא השלישי אשר בבית השם. ויאמר המלך אל ירמיהו, שואל אני אותך דבר, אל תכחד ממני דבר. ויאמר ירמיהו אל צדקיהו, כי יגיד לך הלא המת תמיתני, וכי יעצך לא תשמע אליי. וישבה המלך צדקיהו לירמיהו בסתר לומר, חי השם, אשר עשה לנו את הנפש הזאת, עם עמיתך ועם עתנך ביד האנשים האלה, אשר מבקשים את נפשך. Then King Tzidkiyahu sent for Yirmiyahu the prophet and had him brought to the third entrance to the house of Hashem. The king said to Yirmiyahu, I'm going to ask you something. Do not hide anything from me. Yirmiyahu said to Tzidkiyahu, if I answer you, you will surely kill me. And if I advise you, you won't listen to me. So King Tzidkiyahu swore this oath secretly to Yirmiyahu. As surely as Hashem lives, who has given us this life, I will neither kill you nor hand you over to those who want to kill you. Having secured Tzidkiyahu's solemn oath, and perhaps feeling some pity for his pathetic stance, Yirmiyahu advises in the name of Hashem. Vayomer Yirmiyahu el Tzidkiyahu. Ko amar Hashem Elokei Tzvakot Elokei Yisrael. Im yatzot tetzel sarei melech bavel v'chayta nafshecha. והעיר הזאת לא תשרף באש, וחיית אתה וביתך. ואם לא תצא אל שרי מלך בבל, וניתנה העיר הזאת ביד הכסדים, ושרפוה באש, ואתה לא תמלט מידם. ירמיהו אמר לצדקיהו, This is what Hashem of hosts, the God of Israel, says. If you surrender to the officers of the king of Babylonia, your life will be spared, and this city will not be burned down. You and your family will live. But if you will not surrender to the officers of the king of Babylon, this city will be given into the hands of the Chaldeans, and they will burn it down. You yourself will not escape from them. To which the cowardly king responds in verse 19, I'm afraid of the Jews who have already gone over to the Babylonians, for the Babylonians may hand me over to them, and they will abuse me. Yirmiyahu reiterates his advice that the king surrender, and elaborates in verses 21 through 23. But if you refuse to surrender, this is what Hashem has revealed to me. All the women left in the palace of the king of Yehuda will be brought out to the officials of the king of Babylonia. Those women will berate you. They misled you and overcame you, those trusted friends of yours. Your feet are sunk in the mud. Your friends have deserted you. All your wives and children will be brought out to the Babylonians. You yourself will not escape from their hands, but will be captured by the king of Babylonia, and this city will be burned down. But Zedekiah cannot make a decision, and demands that Yirmiyahu keep the substance of their meeting a secret, just as he must hide how he got out of the cistern. In the closing verses of this chapter, he suggests that if anyone inquires what they spoke about, Yirmiyahu should tell them that he begged the king to spare his life. ואמרת עליהם, מפיל אני תחינתי לפני המלך, לבלתי אשיבני בית יונתן למות שם. ויבואו כל השרים אל ירמיהו, וישאלו אותו, ויגד להם ככל הדברים האלה אשר ציווה המלך, ויחרישו ממנו, כי לא נשמע הדבר. וישב ירמיהו בחצר המטרה, עד יום אשר נלכדה ירושלים. Then tell them, I was pleading with the king not to send me back to Yonatan's house to die there. And then all the officials did come to Yirmiyahu and questioned him. And he told them everything the king had ordered him to say. So they said no more to him, for no one had heard his conversation with the king. Yirmiyahu remained in the courtyard of the guard until the day Yerushalayim was captured. Thank you for learning together. לעילוי נשמת ברברה אטלס, ברכה בת אברהם. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.